We're in chapter 10 of the book of Proverbs, and we'll be focusing mostly, the Lord willing, on verse 11. But before we go to the primary proverb of our lesson, I want to make a few more remarks on the 10th proverb of chapter 10, which reads, "He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Now, this proverb, as well as others, tell us of the language of the body, and in this case, that language, the winking of the eye, causes sorrow. This is that menacing use of the eye to communicate violence or to communicate some hurt to another, aimed at bringing threats of wrong actions. The language of the body knows no bounds for every people. Every tribe upon the earth is proficient in the language of the body. Did you know that the heart forces the body to do its bidding? This proverb reminds us that the heart is not satisfied with simply communicating with the mouth. So every part of the body is enlisted in the communication of rebellion. When the mouth is not enough, the eyes and the feet and the fingers are employed to serve the hostility of the heart. You know, one of the marks of a sinner is the hypocrisy of the communication of the mouth compared with the communication of the body. They're not in line. There's a hypocrisy. The mouth may say sweet things. The body speaks truth and does not speak sweetly. Jesus told us to clearly let our yeas be yeas and our nays be nays. And that is to include the yeas and the nays of your body. They ought to be in sync. You know, the spirit-filled man or the spirit-filled woman is to be one in both mouth and body. There has to be an integrity in mind and heart where the mouth and the body agree and communicate the same message. We are not to be a hypocrite in this matter. There is to be no winking of the eyes, communicating a different message from that which comes from the mouth. For the winking with the eye, we're told in this proverb, causes sorrow. As the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, we are to bring our bodies into subjection. Bring our bodies into subjection. And we do this by honesty and forthrightness of speech, with which our body can gladly provide agreement. There ought to be one in your speech. When we walk in the Spirit of God, both our mouth and our body will speak the truth. Now on to Proverbs 10:11, where we are told this: the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You know, Isaac was a well digger. What a wonderful thing to do is to dig a well and to bring forth water. You know, when we first moved out to our property back in 1971, we did not have city water. We had a well. And we enjoyed the well, had free water, had to invest electric into it. But the well was good, free water. And then recently we got a new well for a sprinkler system, free water. What a wonderful thing a well is. It provides refreshment. It provides sustenance. And that's what this proverb talks about. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now, we clearly know there is much said by the mouth, but there is also much needed to be said about the mouth. Now, recently we left our study of the Epistle of James the Apostle. I'm always afraid of getting the Apostle of James the Epistle backwards. So you have to be careful of putting those two in the same sentence. But we left the study of the Epistle of James the Apostle, who also gave us instruction about the tongue. And here again in this proverb, we hear instruction concerning the tongue. My, how this is an important subject in the scriptures. I wonder why. You know, God seems to focus on things that are problems to us. He doesn't talk about something that is far afield from us, but he talks about things that we need. And my, how we need an instruction about the tongue. For God knows our need. For he says, the tongue indeed is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. It's a defiler of the whole body. It's an unruly evil, and it is full of poison. By the tongue, as James has told us, the same tongue is used to bless God, and that same tongue is used to curse men. What a shame that is. Men who are made in God's image. But the thing that we want to focus on today is that part of the tongue that blesses God. For we are told in Proverbs 10:11 that the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. You know, one thing the Proverbs do is it focuses on what is black and what is white. It doesn't focus on the grays. Now, sometimes we are in the grays. Just like that verse said, we bless God and we curse men. We do both things. But in the Proverbs, they focus on what is black and what is right. What is wrong and what is right. And here he says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. So we learn here today that in this proverb, the mouth does not have to be a fire. It does not have to be a world of iniquity. It does not have to defile the whole body, nor be an unruly evil, nor full of deadly poison. For we're given a cure for a tongue like that, and that cure is righteousness. Righteousness. For the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. So in this proverb, we are given a particular man and a particular mouth that produces particular results. A righteous man. First, let us focus on what is called a well of life. Now, the well that is being spoken of here reminds us of the well where men and women go to get that all-important commodity of water. What would we do without water? Isn't it wonderful to bathe in clean water after a hard day's work? You're out in the yard, or you're doing some heavy lifting, and you get in the tub, and that beautiful water spreads over and cleans the body. What would we do without water? You know, our space scientists, those that believe in evolution, diligently search for water on other space orbs, that they may show that life exists elsewhere. Now, the water that comes to you comes from wells that tap into the Alabama aquifer, water that comes to your homes after many miles of underground travel from the north. You know, you wonder, how long has that water been underground? You get a drink of water, and that water may have been underground for thousands of years. Hardly ever saw the sun underwater. So we also depend on a well of water for life. And God uses this important commodity to speak of what comes out of the mouth of a righteous man. The mouth of such a man who is righteous, brings forth life-giving words. That's what your mouth ought to let go of if you are a righteous man, a righteous woman. Now, Jesus told the Samaritan woman that the well that she should concentrate upon, she was so intent about coming to get water, but she would have to come and get water tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And Jesus used this event in her life to tell her that she should concentrate upon the well that produced the water that would never let her thirst again. It was the well that flowed water from the mouth of the very one who spoke to her that day. You know, the mouth of Jesus Christ is the ultimate well of life. It's the ultimate well of water of life. For this is what he said in John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. You know, I can boldly attest to the truth of Christ's words. For I drank of that water that Jesus gave me years and years ago, and I have never thirsted for other water. His water quenched my thirst. His water satisfies me for eternity. It quenches every spiritual thirst. And I believe you could say the same thing. When your thirst was satisfied by the water of life from Jesus Christ, you never thirsted for other water. My, how his water is so wonderful. Jesus again spoke of the well in John 7:38, when at the Feast of Tabernacles, he said this, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The righteous man is that man who has drunk of the water that Jesus has given him, the water by which he will never, never thirst again. For this man, this righteous man, walks in the righteousness of Christ, which he received at the new birth. That birth of the Spirit of God, which brings forth a new mouth, a mouth where the water of life freely flows. It is water that springs up in his speech, water that provides the word of life to those who come to the well. You know, Jesus spoke of living waters coming out of this man's belly, meaning that the waters that the righteous man has to give are to satisfy the thirst of others. They're not just to satisfy your thirst, but they're to satisfy the thirst of others by the flow of the waters from the mouth. They are to edify others. They are to build others up in the faith. You know, you have an obligation by the Word of God to build others up in the faith, not to tear others down, but to build others up in the faith, edifying others, praising the Lord for the things that the Lord has done in your life, and giving a witness to others. The righteous man utters words that are refreshing as cold waters to the thirsty soul. They are words that promote the spiritual growth of the hearers. That's what comes out of the righteous man, for the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. They are words that promote the spiritual growth of the hearers. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. You know, they're not words that grab food out of the mouth of others, but they put food in the mouth of others. But fools die for want of wisdom. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Proverbs 17:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. You know, the heart of the wise studies to show himself approved unto God, but he also studies that the words that come out will continue to be a well of life. And in the New Testament, in Ephesians 4:29-32, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good in the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, there's a connection with what comes out of your mouth and grief to the Holy Spirit. You know, you say things and the Holy Spirit says, oh, I'm grieved. That grieves me. But the words have come out that are a well of life. The Holy Spirit is cheered. The Holy Spirit is praised. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil, you don't hear much of that word anymore, but you sure hear a lot of clamor. What a lot of clamor in this world. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, tender-hearted means that your heart is sensitive to others. You're tender. Oh, that, you know, you have a sore that's tender. It can be affected by anything. That's what tender-hearted means. Sensitive to the needs of others. Listening. Where are the needs? Who has needs? Who has a countenance that's sad today? Maybe I can help them by being tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the standard that we go by. Now, this is the status of the righteous man. But as is usual in the case of our Proverbs, there is a contrast provided. For we are told in the last part of this proverb, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. This is the second time that this phrase has been used in Proverbs 10. As we contrast to that of the righteous or just man, for Proverbs 10:6 reads this way, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So we're given that contrast between the mouth of the righteous and the mouth of the wicked. One mouth, that of the righteous, is open. It is sending forth fountains of living water to satisfy the thirst of others. Proverbs 10:11 is stated in the New American Standard Version this way, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous not only satisfies the thirst of the hearers, but it satisfies the thirst of the speaker, for it allows him to depart from the snares of death. We read of this in 13:14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. So here the mouth of the righteous is called a fountain of life, because that which he speaks, as he speaks it, strengthens the hearers morally. It elevates the hearers intellectually and enlivens the hearers inwardly. But the second mouth, that of the wicked, is closed or covered, for the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. There is always a cover-up being taken place as to the wicked, and that cover-up is the result of violence. You know, there is no benefit coming from the mouth of the wicked, for it is involved in the covering of sin. It is involved in the manufacture of deceitful words, words that are only intended to do the wicked good, but have no good for the hearer. It is not a well of life. The wicked have much to cover up, for they live a life of lies and deceits. There has been violence done, both physically and mentally, for which there is no wish for the light of day to reveal. There is no desire on the part of the wicked to come forth with words for the good of the hearer, but only that which is to the disadvantage and ruin of those around him. The righteous, the words of the righteous, are to edify the hearers with the words of life, while the words of the wicked simply serve for a covering for an immoral and malicious life. You know, truth always edifies, but lies only destroy. Truth only comes from the mouth of the righteous, for Jesus Christ is truth. And without Jesus Christ, truth cannot be told. Here's the contrast between that which is righteous and that which is unrighteous. Purely righteous, purely unrighteous. Oh, how we fit sometimes in the middle. We go back and forth. But you know, our aim, our prayer, is higher ground. That's what we strive for, that we might have a mouth where words come out that are a well of water to satisfy the hunger and the thirst of others. Father, thank you so much for the Proverbs, and thank you for specifically this one today. Lord, help us to be those that are looking for the excellent, those that are striving for the higher ground, those that are not satisfied, Father, with the ordinariness of this culture, that which just approves that which is mediocre. But help us, Lord, to approve that which is excellent, to strive for the higher ground, to plant our feet on that higher plane where Jesus Christ is. We ask this in his name. Amen.